Going to take a few minutes to look at a few verses from 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's turn over there together and take a look at some words here from the Apostle Peter. We all seek the great blessing that God has in store for us, the final one, the heavenly one, the home that God has prepared. Jesus spoke about how that in my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. He's going to prepare that place, he said. And we long to be freed from this life and its burdens, but how can we be certain to receive that promised place? Are there any expectations that God has? Well, yes, there certainly are, and Peter here speaks of some of them as he begins in verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. And this relates to things that we in verse 8 as Christians need to demonstrate toward one another. You can't be a part of a family and just treat others however you want. We have to be Christ-like in how we act, behave, and treat one another. So he says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, or the idea of being humble or lowly in mind. So in that verse, he talks about the need for, and this we understand very clearly, if you have division within a body, if you have splintering and everybody's going separate ways within a family, you have problems. You can have one mind, but you can only have one mind if you see the source of that oneness or unity and acknowledge that that's the only way you're going to achieve it, and that is embrace God's truth with all of your heart and be willing to change anything and everything within your life that's not in confirmation with it. That's how we find unity. And we are willing to part with our own wishes and desires, and we're going to esteem others as better than ourselves and look out for their interests as well, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. But here, he urges us to have these proper feelings toward one another. Have compassion for one another. This is a heart that can be touched with the struggles of one's fellow Christians. You hear of hardships they're going through, losses that they've suffered. You feel for them. You are touched by what they've gone through. And so you then want to help them, reach out to them. Compassion is certainly needed as we go through this life, one for another. He tells us, love as brothers. There is to be a closeness that is real as in a family. This is not a club that you attend and you see somebody for a few hours a week and then you don't really have any connection with them. This is talking about bonds and family connections, true concern and a deep bond with one another. Love as brothers, he says, and be tender-hearted. This would relate to the gentle way in which we would treat one another. This is the opposite of being harsh, being heavy-handed, but we as God's people instead will have a disposition that shows that we have a genuine care and we have a mild way of dealing with our fellow Christians. Be courteous or humble in heart. Again, these dispositions will only help there to be oneness among the body. He says this then, speaking next about negative things. Don't do these. Don't act this way. He says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Yes, sometimes even within a family, hostilities can arise. We might not have the proper disposition toward others, or we might be on the receiving end of bad attitudes and behaviors. What are we to do? You don't give back as you've received. Instead, we are to take the high road as God's people and remember, we're to be spiritual. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul brought out the point in the opening verses that sometimes we're going to see those who stumble into sin. We are to restore them in a spirit of meekness or gentleness. It might even be that we are the ones sinned against. In this case, as he talks about here, you don't render evil for evil. You instead take the course that a spiritually minded person would take, and you deal with them according to a Christ-like fashion, which is what? You do on the contrary. You bless them. Knowing, he says, that you were called to this. You were called to not deal with people in a worldly way, which is give as you've gotten, but instead you deal with people in a heavenly way, which is you love those who are unlovable. You treat people with the kind of respect you would desire to receive, even though they didn't give that to you. This is the Christ-like way. And he shows us within the body that's how it's to be. He says, all of these things must be in place. Verse 8, in verse 9, all of these ways of dealing with your fellow Christians, why? That you may inherit a blessing. God wants us to be recipients of the glorious gift that He's prepared, of the wonderful things that await those who are faithful. We can receive those. It can become a reality if our behavior is such that we are walking according to the Spirit and not the flesh. He's given us instructions in that regard. He ties in words from the 34th Psalm here as he quotes from this section of Scripture and again calls upon us to reflect upon the manner in which we live. If we want the blessing that God has prepared for us, he who would love life and see good days, if that's what you want, do what? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. As it relates to Christian communication, there's a right way and a wrong way to communicate, right? He says the tongue is to be used in the proper fashion. The tongue is to be refrained from evil. We hear it every day. If you're out in the world, you'll hear it. If you're not very careful when you turn on the television, you'll definitely hear it. But it's a commonplace thing that is not to be a reflection of God's people's communication. We are like our Father in heaven. Therefore, ours is to be pure speech. It's to be edifying. It's to be building others up. And he says, you refrain your tongue from evil. Your lips should not what? Speak deceit. This relates to lying, not telling the truth, twisting things, misrepresenting things. All of those kinds of ways are ungodly and of Satan, who is the father of lies. Instead, we are to put all of that far from us if we want to love life and see good days. Do what? Verse 11, turn away from evil and do good. This is the way of men like Job. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. This is precisely what we want. Who could bear the thought of God turning his back on him or her? We wouldn't want God to reject us, not hear us, not listen to our cries when we are going through struggles to distance himself from us. And yet that can happen if we don't live right. So he tells us here, he urges us, remember how it is with God. You must choose these ways because if you're righteous, God's eyes are upon you. And his ears, furthermore, will hear what you say when you pray to him. But the flip side is a fearful thought, fearsome thought. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so we've got to be Christians living the converted life, not lapsing back into what we came out of, not succumbing to the temptations of the flesh that are constantly around us, not yielding to the pressures we might feel at school or at work or from various sources, but instead to take the difficult path that leads to life eternal. Because there's something that God desires to give you, an inheritance. He longs to be connected with you in a constant fellowship. That can be forfeited. It can be in jeopardy if we don't choose the right way of living. So a daily investigation is needed. Self-examination. Are we living right? Do our present ways of conduct demonstrate a Christ-likeness and a closeness to our Savior, striving to live as He did? If not, there's a remedy for that. Turn back to Him. Listen to His call through His Word. Reflect upon His admonitions as we find here through the Spirit, as Peter conveyed. And when we fall into line with the teaching of God's Word, we know we're close to God. He hears us. and His reward is waiting for us. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, turn to Him for salvation. Let your sins be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to believe that He's the Son of God and turn from a life of sin. You must acknowledge your faith in Christ, and then immersion is where, in that act of baptism, God applies the blood of the Lamb that was slain, Jesus Christ. You can be cleansed tonight. You can be added by God to the church and have this hope of a beautiful, a wonderful, an eternal inheritance. But if you've wandered from God's fold and your life does not demonstrate faithfulness, make a change. Turn back to the Lord. Or you might just need some help and encouragement. Whatever your needs, the Lord can help, and we certainly will as well, as we stand and sing.